You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 13th, 2020, and Xbox Series X will never be easy to say.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alvor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. One of the challenges of having a podcast that releases Wednesday night is when there's a Thursday announcement. A whole week has to go by. Your life changes, you move, you know?
I mean, yeah, at this point in time, the various rhythms of life have lost all meaning, and it could have been Thursday yesterday, or it could have been Thursday 17 years ago, and it pretty much is the same.
That's a very, very good point. It's all a flat circle. We are talking today about the Xbox Series X, the XSX.
XSX.
XXX.
God, how great would it have been if they teased a new SSX game with this?
Oh, dude, where it's like an S, like a cool S, though, right? Like
cool S.
You know, yeah.
The S that we all made in middle school.
Yeah, the one that like you would scrawl on the back of notebooks to make yourself look
exactly
edgy.
The weird figure eight S.
I know how to tag. I am street. Just sort of jams its way in there where it's like X, SSX, then it says tricky or something.
It would have been so, because you could have just like flipped one of the X's to morph into another S. Like,
this is just, dude.
You have to make this game for the logo treatment alone.
Yeah, idiots. What a wasted opportunity. Well, I mean, genuinely, though, the amount of games that were shown at this Xbox press conference was 13 or so. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, not of the big heavy hitters, really, that I expected to see out of this.
Yeah.
So SSX could be coming. We don't know.
Yeah, it's coming down the mountain.
So let's hop into this right down the list.
Yeah.
I guess we'll start with the game. Yeah, again, I will say none of my comment. Maybe I'll just try not to say anything about it, but Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
I will talk exclusively about this game. So,
okay, what did you think?
Again, without sounding like a company shill by association, this is the only real video game on this list.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, half of these are weird tech demos and fakey trailers and a Madden that barely looks done at this point. And Assassin's Creed Valhalla is the only thing I can confidently look at and say, yes, that is a video game of some quality that will be playable upon launch.
Yes, that's good. That's a good thing to say. What I'll also say is this game is made by the same team that made Black Flag, which is funny because it's one of the few Assassin's Creed games I've never played, but I hear very good things about it. So if you like Black Flag, there's that. Another thing I want to talk about, though, and we were talking about this a little bit before the show, but how does smart delivery work?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we basically the marketing tagline is, which is cool, is if you buy a game on the Xbox platform, the game, the infrastructure is such that it will see what device you're playing on and then deliver the version of that game that will play optimally on that device. So if you're on an Xbox Series X, you'll get the most the fanciest version of the game.
Right.
But you can still play the four games that support it. They're backwards compatible to the current systems that we have.
My question, though, is if you buy a disc, is a piece of that disc like the Xbox Series X version? And then the other piece, like, or, I mean, look, these days, even when you buy a game on disc, most of the game you have to download day one regardless.
Yep. Yeah.
But let's say you do have the disc. What's the deal? Like, how does it detect both? Do you use a one disc to put into both consoles?
That's the most... I mean, the disc... I hadn't even thought about the disc stuff until you brought it up, because it's a strange concept, because we just don't have anything like that today, where, you know, there are some games that were backwards compatible, but they still required different discs to play. They were different SKUs. You know, they weren't the same product. It was the same title optimized for a different system, not a title that had a sliding optimization built into it. And so I just, I mean, you need a flowchart at a certain point, because now we're starting to game the system. We're like, okay, to your point, should we just buy all last gen games on disc to get a discount for our new consoles?
I mean, the wild thing is, all future games, though, if they're newly printed, could just say, this is an Xbox game, compatible on your Xboxes.
Right.
You know, and then it's just one disc.
There must be some rule somewhere that I'm not seeing. I mean, because they wouldn't want to do that. I mean, this is actually, if you think back to the very beginning of the current cycle of consoles, Microsoft was the first out of the gate saying, we're going to go all digital. You know, we're not going to do, even your discs will have to phone home and check in. And it seems like this is the soft way of getting back to that strategy, but doing it in a way that actually gives people something versus just being a DRM feature.
Well, I'm also just trying to imagine what the back of the box says, because, you know, there's a bunch of like bullshit ESRB, like legalese, where it's like, you know, online experience might differ because some dude might teabag you when he kills you in this game, right? Right? Like stuff like that. Wouldn't it have to be doubly as long, since your gaming experience may differ based upon which platform you're playing the game on?
Right. Oh, man. And it's going to be even more... it'll be even more important to understand the compatibility of, it's kind of like, oh, you have to have a, this game will play on anything. You know what? This might actually be the point where they start to go into the OS, where we have these games on mobile where it says, oh, this can only be played on iOS 13 or something. But so that way it gets them out of the need of making a hardware determination, because they can just use the software to gate the hardware.
Yep.
You know, if your hardware doesn't run iOS 13, then I don't care what it's on. You just can't play this game. And so maybe now this pushes them into saying, like, if you can't run Xbox OS 3.0 on whatever device, we don't care what it is, you just have to be running 3.0 or higher, then this game will be smart delivery compatible.
Yeah. I mean, that could be the solution.
I guess it just seems like it's... I don't know. I like it because it is at least friendlier for people that are in this in-between state. But it does, I don't know, just it seems kind of complicated when you think about buying games in a traditional way. But maybe that's just a sign that we need to finally release on discs.
But even if you bought it digitally, like let's say you buy a digital version for the Xbox One game.
Right.
And then you get a free upgrade for the Xbox Series X, but is it cheaper? Like, are you going to be pissed that you're paying full price for a game that is of lesser fidelity than the other one? Are you just like, well, technically this is two games for one, even though you're only playing on the worst platform?
I mean, I guess we've been kind of dealing with this on the PC since the beginning of time. You know, you could That's play true. Control on my PC, but I don't have an RTX card or a 4K monitor, and it would look a lot better if I upgraded. So I guess it's just moving more towards a model like that.
That's fair. That's a good point.
I wonder last thing on the smart delivery, what this will do.
Sounds like a food delivery service.
It really does. This shows up.
It's like healthy
smart
food.
Delivery. Here's all your 4K goodness.
Yeah.
I wonder what it will do. I think more than anything, it's an interesting mechanism to put pressure on a lot of people. It puts pressure on Sony to figure out something similar. It puts pressure on third-party developers to actually support it, because I don't think there's any mandate to support it. Yep. And you got to believe that someone like Activision or EA or whoever is going to, they're going to want to make as much money as possible. They don't want you to have a clean upgrade path. So I think it's more as a symbol. I think it sends a message almost. I think that's right now the most important part. The other thing is, to me, what this suggests is that they are not at all confident that people are going to rush out and buy these new consoles.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually.
Yeah.
Well, or really that it's just a better incentive for you to upgrade, right? Like, we already have that same information for people that try, you know, trial versions of games. Like, there's a certain percentage that are going to upgrade to the full title. In a way, it's kind of like, well, you already have the games for the next-gen console. So for every game you buy, it's one more incentive to upgrade to the next system. Because then your entire back catalog is suddenly better, and you might be justified in replaying that game again, you know? Or if it's a game that sticks and you're really liking it and you're continuing to go back to it, you can go, oh, you know what? This game is fucking great. I didn't think this was going to be a system seller, but it's a system seller now. I'm going to upgrade.
I think that's a really smart point, because it fits with Microsoft's company-wide ethos of everything as a service. And at a certain point, who cares what hardware you buy? All we care about is that you are in the Windows/Xbox online store buying things and staying in the ecosystem. And who cares what hardware you're on, which fits with their strategy of the whole, the Game Pass stuff, the crossplay stuff, you know, play anywhere from the Windows store, all that.
Right.
So that's probably, you're right. I think that's probably the push behind that.
It doesn't matter if you're drinking Chardonnay out of a sippy cup or a wine glass, you're still getting drunk. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And in fact, drunk, I would argue, Microsoft, you're getting more drunk in style if it's a sippy cup, you know? That's a power move, okay?
Yeah, that means you're very at home in your own image.
Speaking of power moves, Infinite is a video game.
Man, this game looks like... This game looks like if you were to feed in a bunch of first-person shooters to an AI.
Yes. Like, if some kind of monster came over to my house and just started eating my video games and then crafting a new one out of that. Because it's not just like an AI algorithm. Like, there's the outside, the realm that the story takes place is like feudal Japan, you know? Like, it might as well be like Sekiro or something, right? But then you sucker punch someone, then you, like, you're swimming and climbing, then you bust out like the gun, the wall running. That was the point where I was like, oh, Mirror's Edge, okay, cool, I'm on board, this is like Crisis. Then he pulls out a sword. Come on, dude, like, what? This is just ridiculous. Can you just calm it down a little bit?
A fucking beam grappling hook. Like, there's everything. You got it.
Like, this is just one trailer. And people already know, because this, technically, I think this game is out, or an early version of this game was out on Steam in early access. It's since been taken down from the marketplace. But, like, this could have, who knows what other genres, you know? Like, maybe there's JRPG elements in here.
It would be real-time so great tactics. If at the very end of the trailer, he sat down in front of a computer monitor and started playing a visual novel, but just with the same intense, like,
is Bright Memory Infinite actually Frog Fractions 3?
Really, I mean, it really strikes me. I mean, obviously it looks amazing. I have questions about what I actually saw, and I didn't play the original early access Bright Memory standard, but I mean, it's just... Bright Memory Infinite reminds me of the first Xbox, where just things were just extreme. It's, you know, super everything extreme. Just
there's a racing game in here too.
Yeah, like everything is there. It's just so hilarious.
Even the name of just like three randomly selected words. You know, like, let's make a new name for Bright Memory Infinite. How about like Risen, Swell the Reckoning.
That's great. I was gonna go something like what was I gonna say? Oh no, you could say something like Fusion Meld Rising.
Yes.
Or it's like, oh yeah, okay, got it. Fusion, okay, maybe you're stealing Fusion things melding. Rising. Oh, yeah. this is the beginning of a trilogy, clearly. Like,
yeah, The Reckoning Infinite is fine. We're all here for it. That's all so right.
Crazy.
Also, this game's made by one guy.
That's the most insane thing.
I feel like I'm barely capable of like writing a letter to my loved ones, let alone like crafting something as beautiful as this.
And this person has created the Ur game.
I did see some comments in the YouTube that he stole a lot of the graphics from like other. You buy it on the marketplace. It's not really stealing. I don't know why people get mad about that all the time. But yeah. In either case, like he put something together. So
hey, man, that's yeah. It seemed impressive.
We shall see.
See, Call of the Sea. That is. This looks like a puzzle game. Is that correct?
I mean, it looks like Firewatch.
It does. Yeah, that's right. It does kind of have a, because it's stylized. It's a first person stylized. I guess not a walking simulator, but more of a swimming simulator. Since you're going to meet mer people, I guess.
Yeah, and woo them. The sweet sirens. Yeah, I mean, it is a walking puzzle game. I mean, on my most optimistic side, I would think that this is a better narrative version of something like Myst. I would love a new Myst game, like just with new ideas, like a quiet world, one where there's like the environmental puzzles are massive and large scale, you know? Something a bit more complex than like Firewatch or what's that one?
You're describing.
What's that? No, you're describing not that
The
one.
Witness.
Not that one, Scott. No, because the problem is okay, fair enough with some of the Witness puzzles, but it's all the same puzzle, you know? That'd be like if Call of the Sea was just like slide puzzles everywhere. Like, I'm not interested in that.
Maybe Call of the Sea is going to be those puzzles because it has to do with water, right? So it's going to have to be those.
Those where it's like you have three jars.
Exactly. You just have to mix the jars to like even them out.
Yeah. I hope it's better than that.
It looks cool. I think it's cool to see a stylized thing like that in a next gen context rather than just, hey, we're going to throw as much photorealism at you as possible.
Yep. Totally. Moving down the list, we've got Chorus. This looks cool.
It looks cool. It looks very, it gave me a kind of a more sci-fi.
Hellblade?
It was something like that. It was very, I don't know what it was about it, but there's something very 80s sci-fi about it.
I mean, I what I'm hoping for is like Hellblade meets Ikaruga, you know?
Yeah.
Where there's like fun psychological stuff. There's a science fiction series called The Ship Who Sang. It's basically a series where like there's souls get transposed into ships, so you're like talking to your ships and stuff. I like that idea.
Someone was telling me, is this the one where it's like weird biological ships where everything is kind of
like Yujun Vong,
hyper organic? Yeah.
No, these are just regular ships. That sounds gross. That sounds like a game we'll talk about later.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, Chorus is one of those.
The whole, like, is this thing a traditional shooter would be very interesting to me. Like, if this is actually getting back to a top-down-esque type of shooter.
Yeah.
In a, you know, this could be, if they go for it, this could be something like the Geometry Wars of this generation, but just narrative-driven.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, or Star Fox or something.
Yes, yeah, a hyper-realistic Star Fox.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with Chorus is the problem with a lot of these trailers where it's just not actual gameplay. Like, there's just not a whole lot that we get to see here beyond, like, do a barrel roll. Like, she literally does a barrel roll at one point, which is great. Yeah. We all love barrel rolls.
So does Peppy.
Yeah.
Have you ever played one of the dirt racing games?
I have not. No.
Me neither.
I'm just not a racing game person, you know? Like Need for Speed, for some reason the Need for Speed games rank high in my Need for Speed Hot Pursuit is one of the most memorable racing games that I've played, and then Burnout Paradise, but neither of them are really, you know, they're not like hardcore they're not Gran Turismo. You know?
Yeah, they're arcade racing games. They're not simulation racing games.
Which I guess Dirt is as well, but I don't know. I feel like I play a racing game once every 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it, and then I never really think about racing games again.
I mean, I look at racing games as almost, because like you, I don't keep up with them, and so it's almost how I look at flight simulators, where it's just such an impressive tech demo. When I look at a trailer, it's like, look at all those dirt particles. Oh, this is amazing.
I forgot to tell you, I literally had a dream about playing the Microsoft Flight Sim game.
You were dreaming of flying.
Yeah, it was pretty nice, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Were you, what, was your dream of significant detail to remember what type of plane, where you were going, what was going on?
I was flying out of San Francisco. I think what happened was in my dream, I was like, oh, I have to travel somewhere. And then I was probably like, traveling's not allowed right now.
Right. I don't want to travel with all those coronavirus people. I'm going to fly my own plane.
And so my dream justified itself by saying, you're not flying. You're playing a video game.
You did it.
I haven't played
anyway, Dirt looks very cool, but again, I almost look at it as a showcase of the console, you know?
What is it about the Dirt franchise? Like, are they just, is that the gimmick that's off-road? That there's mud involved? Is that the difference?
No, I mean, I honestly, I mean, this is reductive, but it's, you know, it's like the Forza or Gran Turismo, but with, you know, rally car or whatever the proper term is for the... You know, the off-road.
Yeah. Next game, Madden NFL 21.
What? Okay, here's a pop quiz. When's the last time you played a Madden game?
Oh, God. I would say probably like 5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
More recent than I would have expected.
Well, that's because I had a coworker that was into Madden, and so I played at work. But never one that I would own. I mean, that has to be like...
You did it as bartering, where it's like, okay, fine, I'll play one game of Madden if you get back on Smash.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I mean, yeah, basically. They're like, come on, start playing Smash for once. Oh, fine, all right. I mean, I'm not going to play this Madden either. So. What I will say is I really like this trailer. I mean, besides the talking head in the bedroom, which I guess is like, I don't know, the limit of what you can do with people these days.
Yeah.
Showing the image of John Madden bursting out of the green screen like a fucking serial killer is so good.
There is a certain they're clearly trying to hearken back to the tradition of Madden.
Yeah, I mean, I like that, right? Like the whole lineage of watching football every year and every season is like, you know, it's the same game, but it's like, oh, a new chance, a new opportunity, new thing, you know.
I would hope that they would do something like they've been doing with those NBA games where they have the bespoke story mode where you actually play a character going through the draft and figuring out how to balance his family commitments with his career and stuff. I think that would be very cool because at this point, also football's in a weird place. I mean, let's be real.
That's true.
Is there going to be a football season this year? And should there be a football season this year? The answer to both questions might be no. And so it's what do you even do with this sport? Also, what do you even do with this franchise that really feels like it's plateaued in the face of having a monopoly?
I mean, maybe you just double down on esports, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think hockey is doing it. Racing did it until that guy used a racial epithet, and now I think they're trying to retool it. But they're putting actual athletes into the game to you know, basically stream on Twitch or whatever. And I mean, all those football players now grew up with video games, so I mean, it seems like you could do something with it.
Oh yeah, I mean for sure, a lot of them are into gaming. So yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe you just have them play themselves. Can you do that? Have like 24 people on one team on their own Xbox?
Wow,
in their actual positions. Feature. Oh man, that'd be a great Twitch Rivals broadcast.
because then you really could. You could build out an entire team and you can just, man, I bet you, I wonder if you'd have to significantly retool the game.
Would you watch it if they were doing that, but instead of controllers, they were in like body suits, you know, and they actually had to like tackle
virtually.
Yeah. You know, like that to actually like tackle things and stuff.
Each one of the players is in a weird padded room.
I mean, I would watch a whole football team just play Qzar, you know? Like, that'd be sweet.
Oh, man. Okay, there's so many games. What else is next here?
Scarlet Nexus, which is the anime weeb game. We don't have to talk about this one. It's pretty weird looking.
Yeah. Did it say what company is behind this?
I'm
sure it does.
Is this like a
Platinum game or something? Or is this Namkai Band?
Bandai Namco.
Yeah, there it is.
Although they present. I don't know if they... I mean, they're certainly the publisher. Yeah, I don't know who developed the game. Yeah. Oh, no, Bandai Namco Studios. Yeah, so a Bandai studio did make it. They are the Bandai Namco are the ones that publish a lot of, you know, they publish all the One Piece video games and stuff like that. So,
is this based on an actual anime or is this just inspired by?
What's the difference these days?
I guess that's true. Yeah. Whatever the weird Netflix algorithm will suggest to me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you this guy's like fighting potted plants and stuff, so I don't know. Who knows?
All right, let's talk about the grossest thing I've seen all week.
Oh, Scorn. Yes. So this trailer is weird because it's not doesn't really show us anything, just like the other ones. All it shows us are graphical images that are clearly inspired by H.R. Giger and this guy that I can't pronounce his name, Zdzisław Beksiński.
Yeah. Isn't he like a, maybe he's Polish or something?
Yeah, he's like some old Polish artist. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are weird, gross, dripping, phallic things.
Yeah.
Of course there's an aliens connection because of H.R. Giger's connection.
Yeah.
The melding of inorganic with organic is just inherently unsettling.
Yeah.
And this trailer leans into it hard.
Yeah, there's something.
Does
there's
that
something,
interest you?
There's something like fungal about the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks cool. I have no clue what the. I mean, it's some sort of horror game, I suppose. But I don't know if there's going to be any more detail on it running up to it. But I mean, it's at least a look, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, they're going for it. I mean, I appreciate it. I like that Giger.
I
don't know anything about the studio either. Yeah. But I think that the look of this, we've talked a lot about how, you know, there are games that have the same look for one reason or another. Like, this doesn't. And maybe it leans too heavily on Giger and that gets old. But look, not many people have stolen that style, you know? Like, you see it in some anime. You see it certainly in the Aliens franchise. And we get things like Dead Space that are heavily inspired by content like that, but it doesn't really look like it, and this really seems to double down on that look. So
and there's I looked into some of the background because there's a description of the game on Steam, and they talk about things like having very predefined and limited inventory and ammo, and having the game be very interactive in terms of how you pick up items, and you have a full virtual body inside the game. So it seems like it could be very,
it's not VR, is it? Oh God, I would shit myself.
Man, that would be great if it would be, but it just sounds like they're trying to be more simulation in nature versus arcadey.
Yeah. Is it a shooter or is it like Souls like?
All it says is a first-person horror adventure game.
First-person horror adventure. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, with that sort of the way that they describe it, around, you know, limited ammo, limited items, you know, that sort of stuff. I would hope that it is more measured, because it sounds kind of physics-y, and that stuff doesn't always hold up very well when things get fast and furious. So it'd be kind of cool to see slow creeping horror game.
Yeah. Well, if you're into horror, check out this trailer. I think it looks kind of interesting.
Ah, oh, man, it really does look like something that you would just some student movie or something like that, that it gets broadcast at 3 a.m. just like highly disturbing.
Oh my God. Yeah, for sure. Public, like public channel inspired.
Yes,
stuff.
Exactly.
Oh man, there's more games. We got to blast through this stuff. Second Extinction. Listen to the episode where we talked about how there's no good dinosaur games. There are still no good dinosaur games.
I was about to say,
games.
Lament that it is still true.
Yeah, dude, like this doesn't look any good.
I'll reuse my joke in that Second Extinction sounds like the name of a fake video game that you see in The Simpsons.
100%. You know what I will say? The good thing that I like about this trailer. It's the one thing that I like about this trailer. The dinosaurs have feathers.
Yes. Yeah, there's those raptor-like dinosaurs.
Next up, The Ascent.
Wait, hold on. I have to call this out. If it's the Second Extinction, that means we're talking about an EE, George.
Oh no! Another extinction event. It's a Strand game.
Fuck! God. This could be a Strand game.
I mean, I would play a Strand. God, but see, now I'm just sad. There's not good dinosaur games anymore. Because imagine like a dinosaur, like Kojima. Do me a solid. Death Stranding 2, Dinosaur Stranding.
This time's Dino Stranding.
Dino Stranding. Dino Standing. You know, bipedal. The bipedal revolution.
The last roar of the bipedal dinosaur.
Look, if there's been extinction level events, we can just have a new Death Stranding game for every extinction event. You know,
that's true. Show us. We're like, how many did they say there were? At least 5 or 6 or something? So there's at least, you know.
One has to be the end of the Cretaceous, right? Totally. So,
I mean, that's canon. Hartman told us about it.
Exactly, dude. A video game 65 million years in the making. Kojima gets it done. The next game is Ascent, which is like a dark cyberpunk. I didn't realize that this game was like a top-down shooter. Yes.
It's not obvious until the last third of the trailer, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
I weirdly got more interested in it because it seemed like such a strange throwback to a bygone era. Yep.
Yeah, because I was like, wow, I haven't played a game like this in a really long time.
Yes.
I'm down. This sounds cool. Yeah.
This reminds me of a launch game of the original Xbox. Again, what was that one that they had?
Oh.
Was it Fusion Frenzy? Was that that game?
Fusion Frenzy. I don't know.
There was some game that I remember playing back when we all lived together, and I felt like it looked a lot like this, but just crappier because it was an original Xbox game.
Fusion Frenzy was... God, that is a deep cut. We did play a lot of Fusion Frenzy, though. That was the party game, remember? Where you would be in giant steel balls? It was knockoff Mario Party.
It was a Mario Party with like attitude and batitude.
I can't believe you called back to basically Mario Party meets American Gladiators on this episode. Very cool.
I have fond memories of Fusion Frenzy, but it was because of the time and place.
That's true. The one idea that I like about The Ascent is like a vertical world. And what I realize we're missing is like, where's our video game that is Dread or The Raid or like Snowpiercer, you know, where it's like you are on one level and you got to get to the top level. Go. Yeah. You know? Right.
It makes sense because it's just... That concept makes so much sense because it is just levels in a game. Yep. You know, it's just mechanically. Yeah, it's weird. Maybe it was that game that, remember that Suda game that
oh, put right, out? Yeah.
It was kind of similar where you're just climbing that tower the whole time.
But do you ever get to the top?
I am confident that the answer is no because that game was free to play.
I mean, they're making a Snowpiercer TV show, so just free game idea, Snowpiercer the video game. Just do it. Makes sense. Just do it. Get some poor people shooting some rich people. We're all on board. All right. The Medium, another horror game.
Yeah.
Also seems to be inspired kind of Geiger-ish.
Yeah, there's definitely a weird horror.
Looks like
thing
Alan Wake a little bit.
There is kind of a Remedy feel to this. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's just the art style or something.
Yeah, this is the team behind the Blair Witch video game adaptation.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know if that was any good. But
I mean,
I don't know.
I heard it was, I don't know, it seemed like it got some buzz or something.
I'm excited for the sequel, The Large.
The Venti. Yeah, there seems to be some strange, weird Oedipal stuff as well. Like there's some weird child stuff going on here, too.
And I'm going to say a deep cut just in case someone has seen this, but a long, long time ago, I'm talking literally like 15 years ago, there was a short film with like a bone-like church that this looks completely stealing from. Just calling that out. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, send us an email, experiencepoints@gmail.com. I'm telling you, it's out there. Someone will have seen that short film. It's very cool. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2, not a horror game, a much more fun vampire game.
What is Vampire the Masquerade?
Vampire the Masquerade is originally a tabletop RPG universe created by I believe a Polish or Eastern European company. It actually recently got a update. The TTRPG got an update a couple years ago. And it was actually one of the very first tabletop RPGs I ever played, to be honest.
Huh.
So it's kind of a cool world. I did play the original Bloodlines. The reason the world is cool, right, is because there's a bunch of different kinds of vampires, and all of the vampires in this world are in their own sort of political and social class and affiliation. And so what's interesting about the first Bloodlines is you're not just in a world where, like, oh, you're a vampire and you gotta suck blood. Like, it's, there's a lot of politics and factions involved and different types of, like, vampire gameplay that you could have access to based upon, you know, like, you being a vampire, but also there's just other vampires with other abilities that do other stuff. So I don't know if this game will be any good. I think the first one was good, and I don't know, the trailer seemed, the trailer seemed like it was trying to be cool and failing. But I think if they lean into some of the, like, factions and politics and the greater universe of it, this could be super cool.
What was the first game? What gameplay genre was the first game?
I mean, it was like an action RPG, I guess. I mean, in my memory,
was it first
memory,
person, like how this one is?
It was first person. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm getting kind of almost Dishonored vibes out of some of this stuff, where you look to have like different patterns and. You know, styles of play. Sometimes you're using physical versus more magic based stuff. Like it.
Yep.
You know, there's a neat.
Well, there's like a platforming scene in here as well. You know what? I wish I had played. Actually, was that recent vampire game by the team that did that story game? God, what is that game called? Anyway, there's a recent vampire game. I didn't play it. I wish I had. I'm excited for Bloodlines 2. Hopefully, it's good.
All right.
Last but not least, Yakuza. Like a dragon.
This whole series of games, I'm very happy that they exist, even though I never play them, because sometimes I watch people play them, or sometimes I'll just read about them, and it's cool to see. It almost feels like it lives in some alternate reality where Shenmue evolved into this, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I am told a lot by people that I trust that this is my biggest gaming shame, like not playing Yakuza, and specifically calling out Yakuza 0 as just being like one of the best games.
Right.
So I don't know. I keep meaning to play it, but I feel like maybe you're right. Maybe the direction I should go is just watching a 20-hour Let's Play of one of these Yakuza games, you know? Or like someone explaining to me what the fuck is happening in these games, because it doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, they're just so they are kind of satirical in a weird way. There's a certain, you know, you go on side quests and you're helping people out who are in ridiculous situations. There's a cartoonish aspect to it that is different and almost more fun-loving than GTA. You know, GTA is much more cynical than these types of games, you know?
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, and this one seems to go even more into, like, the... Yeah, like, it goes more in that direction of there's, you know, he's pulling a barbed wire-laced bat out of the ground like it's the Master Sword in Zelda or something. I mean, it's just... Yeah. There's a certain gleefulness to it.
And you're playing a character that is, like, a third-rate person that would normally just be like a side character, so
right.
I mean, overall, I will say I'm kind of disappointed by this list of games that we talked about today. For the most part, Yakuza is one of the only video games on that list that seems, I mean, I guess besides that and maybe like Call of the Sea or Madden, seems anything but just dark, you know? Like this, it just feels like a general, I don't know, like downer collection of games, you know?
I mean, it's, it feels, a Fusion Frenzy comment aside, it really does feel like they are hearkening back and to, this is a gaming console for gamers who like games. Check out these games. Mm. They're so gamey. And I mean, it really just feels like it's a very extreme showing where, you know, there's no Keita Takahashi games in this lineup, you know, not even close, right? So it just seems
more like Watam, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure those games are out there and they will come to the console, but I think leading with this gives you a sense that they're just trying to show how serious they are about catering to a very specific type of video game player.
Yep. Yeah. Well said.
I don't know. I'm so interested in this next console cycle for now. And now, of course, that the world has kind of fallen apart. I think it's, you know, even for folks like us, there is some confidence shaken in, will we get these consoles right away? Like, am I really going to rush out to spend $600 in this economy to do this?
And, in this economy?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, but I think they know that with like the smart delivery stuff. I mean, how much of this stuff could I get today? And then eventually when there's, you know, when Halo Infinite comes out or whenever something else comes out that will justify the game purchase, you know, will that kind of insulate me from feeling like I'm missing out? Like there's just like more and more questions around this stuff.
For sure. I mean, and we still don't know when the Series X is coming out, right? And we don't know certainly the next PlayStation 5 launch date either. I imagine a lot of releases have been impacted by the shelter-in-place orders around the globe. So yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of questions still hanging in the air. So we'll see. I mean, I'm curious to know, you know, what number of titles were going to be initially in this Xbox Pulse Point, right, that have since been abandoned or just delayed until, I don't know, whenever their next press conference is.
And you got to imagine that this just puts so much pressure to on the other side of the house, on Sony's side, where, you know, Ghosts of Tsushima, it has to be a crossplay thing now, right? It just has to be. I mean, how, or Last of Us 2 or any of those big games, seeing that stuff here and seeing them try to hedge their bets, it's just a tall order to ask people to buy a full new console to play a small handful of games that's only growing smaller as the shelter in place stuff affects us.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll just push this to like December, you know?
Yeah. Have we seen the controller for this thing yet?
No, but I hope it's massive.
Oh man. What if they bring back the black and white buttons?
Oh yeah, dude. Sign me up.
Because we saw the PlayStation 5 one, right?
Did we see the Series X controllers?
Maybe we did. For whatever reason, I'm only thinking of the PlayStation ones, like the ones that had the Mass Effect look to them.
Oh, I think we have, actually. Yeah. Oh, okay. They just look like regular Xbox controllers. Change.
Yeah.
I think they are slightly chunkier, though. So.
Yes, we're
keep
going back,
baby,
to the year 2001.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we'll leave it there for this week. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. If you have a great name for a fake video game, send it our way.
Oh, my God. Or if you're creating the Ur game by yourself, we want to see it.
Exactly. The ultimate all games in one.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time